If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of your favorite podcast in the entire world of the interwebs, Grey's Academy. You have your two favorite hosts also in the entire interwebs and in normal real life. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast. The vibes are everywhere.
The vibes are, you know, they're checked, but they're not balanced. Sometimes we need checks and balances. I have tequila.
I have a ginger ale.
And
you have just a glass of straight tequila?
Just a glass of sipping tequila.
Did you have a difficult day? What has happened?
That was a wonderful day. I just enjoy sipping tequila because I'm a man.
I've never seen you sip tequila. I've only seen you take shots of tequila.
This is expensive tequila. Someone that I work with has
rich.
Their family.
Rich, you heard it here first.
I wish. This bottle of tequila is $700,000.
Oh my.
No. No. The person that I work with, his dad owns a tequila business. And I had just off the cuff said that my favorite alcohol was tequila. So the next day, his dad came into work and just gave me a bottle of tequila. So here I am sipping.
He seems like a good man.
He was a good dude. It's tequila made for sipping. It's
interesting.
Yeah. You know, so anyways, I feel like this episode's going to be a wild episode for like talking purposes.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot, we have shout outs, but also something happened the other day. And I got an interesting Instagram message that I want to talk to you about.
Oh no.
But first, should we do some shout outs?
Yeah.
Do you have any you'd like to start with? Oh.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, then, I have some.
I'd like to not shout out my dog, who is losing his mind upstairs. It's really bothering me.
Oh, so funny. I want to shout out Brianna, the Brianna who I completely forgot
Brianna
to.
Brianna from Oregon.
Yeah, Brianna from Oregon. She was very appreciative of the shout out, and she prides herself on being funny, so we make her day. I want to also shout out Lisa. Lisa on Instagram reached out to me. She, let's see which one, where this note is. Lisa cleans banks for a living and overnight shifts. Wow. And she started our podcast about 5 weeks ago. And she's seen it multiple times through. She says, I'm not even going to talk to you about this. I just want to say no spoilies. Keep it funny. And I plan to join the Patreon and Discord soon. So, Lisa, this is your shout out. Kelsey, shout Lisa out with me.
Shout out, Lisa.
Ooh, ooh.
And then Lisa. Lisa, 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 Lisa.
Lisa. Let's see. Amber was so helpful in me looking for some things to do for Spain. Also, she was like, you should go to Paris so you can go to Disneyland Paris. And I was like, let me tell you, sister.
We got to go back.
We've been there. Kelsey and I have been there together. We have been inside of Disneyland Paris at the same time. Want to shout out Julie. Julie is in real life on season 13, and she's been doing a rewatch with us. And she is in Toronto. So shout out Julie from Toronto.
Shout out, Julie.
I've got one more big one here. Okay. Also, Kathleen, shout out. I hope you enjoyed your time home. I'm sorry that our schedules did not work out to see each other, but next time we will do it. Also, I want to shout out someone named Marissa. So I want to tell you a little bit of a story here, Kelsey, and it's going to be slightly political in nature.
Okay.
So I had posted an Instagram story the other day, and it was a clip that I found on a YouTube video, and it said, Tim Walz seems like the kind of guy who gives out whole candy bars during Halloween. Mm-hmm. And I had commented, let's get these two into the White House. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Marissa had reached out and she had basically said, how do you deal with growing a platform, growing a podcast, growing a fandom, while also having people who disagree with you? And she had some people that she wanted to also like ask for prayers and well wishes as well. So I'm like, in my head, I'm not really quite sure where this conversation is going to go. But I reached back out to Marissa. I left her two very long messages and just so, so sweet and so, so kind. And I, for a minute there, got a little bit nervous. But it led to a really good conversation. I'm not going to go into all of the details. But she said that she listens to the podcast and love how you and I both explicitly state several times that we are pro LGBTQ plus, and we are 100% in favor of women's rights to choose. And
it's true.
There's two people in her life that are going through some rough times. So I was hoping that you could help me give both of them a shout out real quick.
Yes, I can do that.
And it's both around family planning and growing our families. And this particular episode could I think, use a little bit of a teeny tiny trigger warning, because it does talk about, not related to these two people, but a different family building issue of, you know, the topic of, what was it? Was it a stillbirth or was it?
No, it's like the baby was brain dead.
Right. That's what it was. But Marissa, basically, she'd opened up an amazing conversation, and I'm really glad we did. She's from Minnesota, so that's kind of why I think that she responded to the Tim Walls comment that I put on my Instagram. But she did ask that we shout out her two friends, Annie and Lauren, who both have gone through and are currently going through their own challenging family-growing journeys. And I just want to say to Annie and Lauren, you're lucky to have a friend like Marissa, who I think cares, in the comments that the exchange I got to go back and forth with her on and have some of this conversation, I can tell that Marissa, definitely cares about you too. And she cares about the things that you're going through. And just know that so many people out there, understand and recognize these challenges and you're not going through them alone. And hopefully us at the Grey's Academy podcast can be a little bit of joy and a little bit of light in some of those dark times. So do just want to give a special shout out to them. Yes. And Marissa did ask me to not go into the personal piece, but she did share it with me. It's just it's easy for me to say it'll get better, but just know that it will. It will. So. But that's all the shout outs that I got. I just want to also say too, sorry, anyone who ever disagrees with Kelsey and I for anything we put on Instagram, just know that we're always an open source for you to reach out to and have a fun, lighthearted, open opinion, exchange of ideas. But just know that, you know, we also are very, we have our ideals, our values, and our morals, just like you do out there, listeners. So if you do slide into our DMs, just, you know, approach that with kindness, positivity, because we will as well. And always no spoilies. So.
Yes, please.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's it. I think that's all I got.
Yeah. Okay.
Should anything to add there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about Grace then. This is episode 140, also the 14th episode of the 7th season. And this is called
14.
PYT, parentheses, Pretty Young Thing. And that is a song.
Luckily for Grey's Anatomy, they were able to find a little known artist by the name of Michael Jackson.
Honestly, and help I think give they discovered him.
They discovered him. They yeah. gave him his big break. This is one of the single. It's one of the singles from his album from 1982. So, right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but, you don't know. Ask questions.
It's fine.
Anyways, Pretty Young Thing was from the Thriller album, 1982. a little known album. And it was one of the singles off of that. And it was written by James Ingram and Quincy Jones. So this song did very, very well. Very well.
Yes.
As soon as I was listening to it, I actually don't think I realized what this song was until Kelsey sent it to me. So it reached top 40 in a number of countries. So Australia, number 40, Belgium, 6, Canada, 13, the Netherlands, 13, Ireland, 4, the UK, 11, the US Billboard was 37, the Hot 100 was number 10, and then special shout out to West Germany. I say that like, I get, well,
shout out.
Shout out West Germany. We don't talk about East Germany. Number 51. Mr. Gorbachev, tear that wall down. So this song did make it to my iTunes library. I did not know about that it was Michael Jackson. I think it's one of those songs you just hear and you know the second it plays and you don't realize this is like a big deal.
You didn't realize that this song was Michael Jackson?
I don't think I did. I don't think I realized that. So but also just a fun fact, the Thriller album hit number one, just for funsies, the Thriller album hit number one in Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Greece, Italy, New Zealand, Sweden, the UK, and the US. So
it's a pretty popular one.
Pretty popular.
Yeah.
And with that, it's a 5 out of 5. Good song.
Was it already in your iTunes library?
No, but it is now.
Ah, okay. This episode was written by Austin Guzman, directed by Steve Robin, aired February 10th, 2011, to 10.47 million views.
What?
Yeah, I know. Really.
After the way the last episode ended?
Yeah, I know. Shit's, I don't know what was going on, you know? It's February. That's when, you know, people are just so busy.
Busy making babies.
Yeah, maybe.
I know I was.
Typical Thursday. Okay, so the Netflix synopsis for this episode is Meredith and Lexi's father returns to Seattle Grace with stomach pains and a new girlfriend.
Bum, bum, bum.
Colon. Well, oh, semicolon. There's semicolon, sorry. Alex butts head with the new OB.
OB okay. Stands for Oh Brother.
This is sitcoming up in here. Okay, and then Hulu is Alex butts heads with the new OB, semicolon, Mark bribes Jackson for information. So they only stole part of it from Netflix. Looks like someone at Hulu actually watched this episode.
They wised up and they said, that Grey's Academy podcast is on to us.
They're crawling us out.
Someone in their QA department's like, Carmen and Kelsey are never going to let us live this down. No, we won't.
It's true. We won't. We don't let most people live anything down ever. So, you know how
it's true. It's true. Not that we hold grudges, but we hold grudges. Yeah.
But only because we're really good at it. And yeah, because people deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because it's really healthy for your body.
All the stress and the...
The anger, the what are those rage.
Calls? What do they call in? What do they cause inside your stomach? Ulcers.
Ulcers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking giving us ulcers over here.
Hell yeah.
Worth Hell it. Yeah. this episode made me get a lot of Star Wars overtones. Did you get any Star Wars overtones in this episode?
You know, I didn't. But
so the two big ones came in the opening scene before the title card even drops.
Okay.
Sorry, I just had to sip my tequila like a man.
Just like in Star Wars when they say spoon 112 times?
Yes. When they're like trying to recall things from memory, it reminded me of when they are holding up the scanner and they're testing Anakin and they test the younglings and they're like, all right, you got to tell me what's on the side. Is it a speeder? Is it a cup? Is it a castle? It made me feel like when they were doing it, it just felt very Star Warsy. And then the point where Weber was, oh, you okay?
Yeah, just really, just right in the funny bone.
Yeah. This is a comedic podcast, am I right? And then when Weber was like, Meredith, you must complete your mother's work.
Yeah,
it
that I can
see. It is your destiny.
And then he said, it's a trap.
It's a trap.
Goodness. Anyways, I didn't get that, but I see your points are valid.
Thank you.
But it was not. It's not. My brain lives less in a constant Star Wars comparison state than yours does. But that's okay. Yeah, I have different ones, you know. Okay. So let's get started with.
Where
you know
do you
what?
Wanna
I'll
start?
Say good episode for Owen, guys. I'm going to say it right now. Owen's side for a lot of this.
Well, because he was very pro-Cali in this episode.
Well, and because he yelled at those stupid people, and you know I love to yell at stupid people.
It's true. Good episode for Hunt. You know what was bad for Hunt? The entirety of the movie It Ends With Us. Have you seen that movie?
No, I didn't know he was in that.
Did you read the book?
No, and I would like to read the book before I see the movie, but I do know the internet's really mad about the promotion for the movie.
Okay. I'm not going to say anything about it, but Owen is in the movie, and he sucks.
Does he suck more than the other guy?
No.
Okay.
Equal suck. Equal suckage.
Interesting.
Yeah. Do you want me to just talk about it or do you
want
to be? Okay. Equal suck it. Equal suckage.
Here's what I will say. As someone who has neither seen the movie or read the book, I have like thought about reading that book since it blew up like a long time ago, right? Everyone had been posting about how great it was and how much they loved it. And at no point really did anyone ever say it was about domestic violence at all. The book also. And so people are upset that in the promotion of the film, they're not saying that it's about domestic violence and that some of the press tour makes it seem like, oh, what a fun movie to see with your girlfriends. Like, it's about love. And I'm obviously, again, I have neither seen nor read it, but I feel like I would not have known that it was about that from the book perspective either. From all the people being like, oh my God, read this book. It's so good. You'll cry so much. Like, that's all people are saying. So... again, I'm not saying that there's not fault in the fact that they're not, you know, putting like trigger warnings at the beginning of this film or even in the press tour when they talk about it or using the press tour as an opportunity to have heavy conversations because that's a good opportunity, a good platform. I'm just saying I feel like it's on par with the way the book was promoted when the book was out and big.
Yeah, I had not read the book. And Jess read the book. And she texted me this day, like last week, and she's like, hey, let's do a date night. I'm like, okay. She's like, I want to go see a movie. And I was like, okay. She's like, I want to go see the new Blake Lively movie. And I was like, okay.
Sold.
And then we get there and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What is happening?
Yeah.
I had very little context because she didn't want to spoil the movie for me. I'm like, okay, cool. So there's like a Sixth Sense kind of plot twist. Like, when's it going to come? And it's just, it never came.
It was just not good.
Bruce Willis wasn't even in the movie.
Yeah, I asked her the next day. I was like, oh, what did you think? Like, did they do a good job from like translating from book to movie? Because that's like honestly one of the hardest things I feel like to capture.
Yeah.
And she said they did a really good job and she really liked it and you hated it.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it.
She said you hated it.
No, it just wasn't when I go to the theater, I want to leave feeling like that was some cool ass explosions or that was some funny shit. I don't go to the movies to be sad or cry.
A lot of people do.
So many people were in that movie theater crying.
Well, yeah.
And for good reason. It's a sad movie.
Yeah.
I just don't yearn to be sad on a date night with my wife.
Right. Yeah, I see. Or
by myself.
Also, I mean, I see what you're saying, but it sounds super pretentious, but I will say I think that movies can be a form of art. So I understand where you're saying where like if you're going to go to the movie theater, you want to leave only feeling a certain way. And that's fine. But other people want to just be like, I want to see how someone has like used this movie to like tell a story and see what emotions that elicits from me. And that's fine if you don't want those emotions elicited.
I do want those emotions elicited, but...
in the security of your own home.
No.
Not after paying someone $20.
I actually don't think I've ever cried in a movie theater at a movie, but I did get really close when, at the end of Rogue One, when they go, what did they give you? And it turns out it's Princess Leia, and she goes, hope. Almost cried there. And then,
I've not cried in a lot of movies, but I have cried in some.
Yeah.
Like when we saw Endgame.
Right.
And I sobbed for like 15 straight minutes.
You know, speaking of a movie that's sad, I have never seen the movie Inside Out all the way through. And when you texted me today asking what time we were recording, you know what was happening in that exact moment? Bing Bong was dying. Bing Bong died while you texted me. Spoiler alert for anyone out there. I hadn't seen it all the way through. I'd never seen this movie. And we're still going through like section by section. But like... Bing Bong is sitting there sacrificing himself and turning into oblivion.
Take her to the moon.
Man. And I'm sitting there like holding Marlo and I didn't cry, but I'm like, she's just watching it. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
This is sad.
Yeah. It's upsetting. I haven't seen the second one yet because I'm afraid. Cause I do think I'm going to sob hysterically because everyone says it's like very heavy on like anxiety and depression.
Which you have neither, so luckily for
you. Right, I'm just thriving. My brain produces all the chemicals perfectly good on its own.
What is it? Oxytocin? It's all oxytocin.
No. Nope. Serotonin.
Serotonin. Not oxytocin. I don't need any oxytocin. Kelsey's not addicted to any drugs anymore.
No. Oxytocin is also a chemical your brain produces.
Oh, good.
Or your body produces. But serotonin is the big one that's like...
Serotonin.
Well, if your brain's not producing enough. Or sometimes your brain does produce it, but your receptors are just like, I don't want that. Mm. You're like, please. I do want it.
Give me more.
All right. Let's talk about this episode.
Grey's Anatomy.
Amazing. Okay. Owen. Let's talk about Owen and Callie have this patient.
This guy yearning for his 15 minutes of fame.
So him and his bestie, Randy and Marcus, two peas in a fucking pod.
Randy!
Human-sized slingshot to slingshot Randy over a brick wall and into a pool, which even if it goes well is a bad plan.
Correct. Even in a best case scenario,
yeah,
still
the
you're
best case
hurt.
Scenario is still not great. So it was not the best case scenario, and he was fully flung into the brick wall. And so he has just so many injuries. Broken femur, which is like the femur is like one of the hardest bones in the body. Like I feel like they say all the time, like you have to really be hit for the femur to break.
And I think I've heard that when that bone breaks, that's supposed to be the most physical pain that a person will ever feel if that bone breaks.
Yeah. So broken radius, broken ribs, broken metacarpals, and bilateral hip dislocations. So he's fucked up. And
having
also
a rough
stupid.
Day. Yeah.
Which, you know, can't really fix that in surgery. So they're like going to do this and this and that. And they're getting real annoyed that his motherfucking friend won't stop videoing it. And Owen's like big mad.
Yeah.
That they're like doing this for the internet, which... I mean, they are stupid, and I'm the point he makes at the end, I am definitely on his side, but I was like, I don't really understand why you're this mad.
Right.
But I do like him leveraging the situation to kind of teach them a lesson without like having, I don't know. I just thought he handled it well, even though I felt he was a little bit more angry than I would be in that scenario, but I liked how he did his speech at the end, but... So at first they're like, we're going to do all of this at the same time because it's going to be really, really painful. So when we put you under for the other stuff, we'll also fix your hips. And they're like, no. Let's do it on camera.
For the art, for the cinema.
It's for the art, Dr. Torres.
That was so,
it was really funny.
So funny.
I loved it. We don't see Owen and Kelly working together much. I think they work together well.
Yeah.
I will say,
I think that's
you guys,
more Callie. Yeah. I don't think we've put Callie with anyone who I haven't walked away from their partnership and been like, gosh,
yeah,
it's no chemistry.
Yeah. I don't love April, guys, but I felt bad for her this episode because she was not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
Callie was just having a bad day.
Yeah. I forget, the actor, what's their name?
Sarah Ramirez.
I will remember this someday.
Sorry, there's a million actors on this show.
I think the thing that stands out for me that just set my level of expectation for this this whole patient was when they came in, the guy was like, no, it's okay. Like, I was supposed to fly over the house. Like, Owen didn't need that clarification.
Yeah, that's not, again, you're not fixing it.
Yeah,
you're doing something stupid and life-threatening to maybe let people on the internet. Also, like, you see videos like that, you don't know who those people are.
Yeah.
Like, if you see a content creator who is putting time and energy into creating, like, valuable content, you're probably going, and you, like, want to follow them, you're probably going to know their names or, like, something about them. If you just see, a wide shot of some moron being flown from a human-sized slingshot, like, into a brick wall, like, yeah, people are going to watch it because people watch people getting hurt, but they're not going to be like, I definitely want to like know a lot about this person.
Right.
No, the most they're going to do is be like, I got to click on this guy's profile and see if he lived.
Yeah. It's very interesting. The whole concept of the 15 minutes of fame thing is very interesting to me. Like, did you see, what's the guy's name? He's, one of the late night guys.
Jimmy.
No, not one of the good guys. I think he's more of like a, he's got the slick back silver hair. He talks about a lot of politics. I don't know
who you're talking about.
But he had the Hawk to a girl on, and she was misquoting Jay-Z's lyrics in the song New York. Mm-hmm. And one of the comments was, she just earned herself another 15 minutes. And it's just funny stuff like that. Like, the things that people will do for their 15 minutes of fame is just very funny. And these guys just, you know, decided they were going to do a human-sized slingshot.
I did see that clip also. Did you post that clip?
Why Bill Maher.
Yes.
I was going to get there eventually.
Yeah.
The scene where Callie was like, April, I need you to just change your voice, please.
That's what I'm saying. I like felt bad for April. Like, you guys, I know I don't like her, but like, I did feel she was doing nothing wrong. She was simply existing. And Callie was like, I'm grumpy and uncaffeinated, which I can relate to being both of those things, or grumpy when I am caffeinated. However, sometimes you just have to let people exist, even if it's very annoying to you. And I'm sorry, but that is the reality of the world we live in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Poor April. Podcast one. Yeah, Hunt was like, oh, she's just so eager.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay.
In my normal voice, or...
The deadpan, in that scene, the deadpan to Callie's face, where she's just glaring.
Yeah.
So funny. And that's for sure a mood that I feel internally sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, so the guy has a successful surgery, but his recovery is going to be a bitch because like his bones are just fucking shattered. And they like tell him all the stuff that happened in surgery and like all the bones and whatever. And Marcus, the one filming, is like, oh, is that the worst one you've ever seen? And he's like, no, this is the worst I've ever seen. And, you know, goes into a lot of detail.
A lot of detail.
About someone that he worked on. And they're like, wow, he survived that. And no one's like, no. But also, you actually are worse than that. Because he did that to throw himself on top of a grenade to save 6 other human beings. And you did this so that, like, people on the internet could laugh at you. So, like, you're fucking stupid.
And yeah, he really
finally grasped reality at that point, which thank God.
Yeah, it's did you ever watch Jackass?
No,
I also never was super into it. I listened to a couple, like Steve-O does a podcast, and I listened to some of the things that he did, and he like goes back and he recounts all the stories, and he's like, I was just on so many drugs.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think that, like, even when I was sitting there with broken bones or a stunt failed, I was on so many drugs, I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
And that's just not a life that I care to live at all. Like, respect, you know, I think he's sober for a few years now, a number of years.
Yeah.
Changed his life. And I think that, you know, helps become an advocate for that. Mm-hmm. We don't know if this is a Shark Tank moment where we get to revisit these guys in a couple years. Maybe they, you know, turn their shit to positive. But yeah, when Owen starts to describe the situation, I was like, I bet this is a war story. This is a war story. And then
this person
it was a war
did
story.
Not survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think he used that moment to like, show them that they're stupid, and I'm glad that they seem to have seen the light.
Yeah,
put things into perspective.
Yes,
as much as they can, at least. I mean, yeah, they're supposed to be like 23, 24, so yeah, they are young, but it's like that is when it is important to learn those lessons, because
yes,
you're old enough to grasp it but young enough to like make a choice to live your life in a better way.
Yeah.
And just understand like the realities of the world, and that it's not just about you making silly choices. Like, there's so much beyond just you in the world. Not
yeah.
that people don't matter, but like just like also being fucking self-aware of like other things. I've never been one for like videos of people getting hurt. To me, those, I don't find them funny. Like, I always am like, want to look away and be like, oh no, God, that hurts me to watch.
Yeah.
But I know it, there is a huge audience for that. I know that like people love those videos, and like, more power to you. But there's like, I feel a lot of those videos are accident. Like, they're, you know, oh, they're filming someone. Oh, they tripped and fell in the pool. Ha ha ha. That's so funny. Versus someone like spending so much time and effort and money to like cause themselves these pain, this pain.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's definitely, there's, it's, people are wild. The internet is a wild, wild place.
You know, I'll tell you, there's one specific video that will always get a laugh out of me. And it's a harmed pain video. Mm-hmm. And it's the guy who runs off the pier to do a cannonball into the lake, and it is frozen solid, and he just fucking,
that hurts me.
Yeah. It will always get a laugh out of me. I don't know if it's staged. I don't know if we're, and the guy's in a Speedo. So you gotta think he thought he was getting into some shit. But it's so frozen solid that he just lands on his rumpus. And that one will always get a laugh out of me. But, you know, yeah, the skateboard videos where people fall on their nutsacks.
Yeah.
That never, I don't like
that.
I mean,
I don't even have that. And it still makes me feel cringe. Like, it makes me physically, yeah, like, cringe.
Yeah. Yeah, the hurt videos don't... Or the one where it's the guys going down the hill in the little toy cars, and he goes and he turns it at the last minute, and he totally flips over and lands on his face. Like, that's kind of funny, yeah, to me too.
If you're on grass and you do that, I'm like, okay, it's probably okay. If you're on the road, I'm like, your face is scarred for life. I can't enjoy things, guys. Like, it's like not pleasant to live in my brain.
I can't enjoy anything.
Like, it's rough.
So there's two other scenes that I want to call out because they made me chuckle. So number one, when Callie's like, just, she's like, obviously she's venting. Actually, this is the whole scene. So she's on the table manhandling this dude's hip and leg.
Yes.
Is this what orthopedic surgeons and doctors do? Do they get fully on the table to crack these back into place? I don't know. Now I'm concerned.
I think it depends on the break. And
that's
the leverage
so
that the person has to get. Also, this was 2011. In medical years, it is now, you know, a long time later. So the advancements that have been made are probably like significant. So it is possible there are like other ways that this could be done.
Yeah. 13 medical years is like 1,000 human years. But anyways, in that same scene, she's like obviously complaining about the coffee thing. And she's like, just because I'm pregnant doesn't mean I lose my body sovereignty. And Abel's like, oh, you're pregnant. And
I
then
know, I actually love that moment for April. It was, like, I think that she's so genuinely excited for her. And like, I don't like April, but I felt for her this episode. And I thought, I just felt like her genuine excitement and like joy for Callie was so sweet in that moment.
Yeah. And she just glares, and that's when Owen's like, go get Dr. Torres some coffee.
Run.
Do you remember when you were, I guess now this is two times with Scarlett and Bennett. Mm-hmm. When you were pregnant with either of them, did you go back and like, or like, if you think back, were there times where you were actively like, I could actually, if the laws didn't exist, I would actually murder you right now. Like, did you ever get so annoyed with someone in that moment and think, this is it, I'm going to jail? Or were you like pretty even keeled throughout your pregnancies?
Well, I'm just like already annoyed with everybody. So I'm just used to being annoyed with everybody.
But you also, conversely to Callie in this, from what I'm gathering, you don't drink a lot of caffeine.
I don't drink coffee. My caffeine is typically 75 to 150 milligrams a day. So it's not like a huge deal. Before, when I was drinking soda, because I don't drink that anymore, RIP, I miss Diet Coke so much. I stopped drinking soda before Michael and I even got married. But I was drinking so much, like typically Diet Coke or Dr. Pepper a day. Like, I would go to the gas station in the morning and get the 75-cent big gulp like every single day.
Oh, hell yeah.
And those things are fucking huge. And that Hell is yeah. what I was having.
That's like 64 as a ounces. Morning.
And like, yeah. And like the caffeine intake is probably equivalent to coffee. Maybe not as much, but like the rest of the shit in it is definitely way worse.
Mm-hmm.
Cause coffee at the very least you can say is derived from a plant versus like, come on guys, what's in Diet Coke?
Well, it's the main ingredient for Diet Coke is water.
Cocaine.
The good old days.
Anyways, yeah. So when I stopped drinking that, the caffeine, I still was drinking caffeine because I would drink like a Starbucks refresher. But again, comparatively, it was such a lesser amount and caffeine headaches were really bad. But luckily, that was a time in my life when I had like a very consistent work schedule. And so I could really sleep like as much as I needed to kind of help get myself through that. I definitely think if you were like going through that pregnant, it would be really, really rough. And then also the frustration of like kind of the back and forth of like, because people will really shame you for drinking coffee.
Yeah.
When you're pregnant. Like strangers. And it's just like not anybody's business. It's fine. Like there's so many studies that show you can have 200 milligrams of caffeine a day when you're pregnant. Like it's truly okay. And at a certain point, if the person carrying the child is like so miserable physically, like that is also going to affect the baby. So I just think there's a lot more to it than just be like, oh, this is bad for the baby. You can't have it, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so all that to say, Callie is upset because Mark and Arizona are bullying her into not living her life the way she wants to because she's pregnant. And they're going to be like, we have to vote. And everything we say goes, and you don't get to make choices anymore, which I don't love.
No. And we probably...
You know, if she was out here again being like, I'm going to do meth, I'm on their side. I would be on their side. But a cup of coffee to survive, it's like, let her live. She's doing these really difficult surgeries. She's probably working long hours. She's a hormone casserole, as previously stated last episode.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know, let a lady live. And then I would even make the concession of like, drink the coffee and have the green smoothie. And maybe get a better blender because you don't need chunks in your smoothie.
And
here's a word from our sponsors.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we are back.
Thank you. I was giving her the flag down. I was like, all right, Kelsey, we need to meet and make some money for this podcast.
I landed it.
Also, can I just take this moment to say, well, I guess we probably should just put it on Instagram, I guess. But like, we're going to be doing a new host podcast platform. So if anything is weird or delayed, blame me, I guess.
We're doing our best.
Yeah.
But also what's good about it is we now have hopefully more control over the ads that we are running. With our previous one, we kind of, it was just like fingers crossed that you guys aren't getting, you know, really heinous political ads that we don't agree with. And that was happening a lot. With this one, we are allowed to at least at the very base of it, basically be like, we don't want, you know, like weaponry advertised. We don't want like, you know,
pro-abortion campaigns.
Yeah, we don't want like things that we fundamentally disagree with, and so we are allowed to kind of say that we don't want those categories. Sometimes things fall through the cracks, so if you do hear those, you can let us know, because we can actually make a change with that now. So yay.
Yes,
but yes, if there's any like delay or anything with the episode, just thank you for being patient, because it will have already occurred, but let us know and we'll try and keep you guys updated on our Instagram with all those changes and everything going live. But it's good stuff. We're happy. It's good moves.
Yeah. There will be, I think, a formal announcement once we fully have everything figured out.
Yeah. We're still in the technical back end of it process, so we'll get it all sorted, but yeah, it's in the works.
Everybody loves the back end process.
I know you do.
Speaking of, I was plugged up today. Like, I was plugged
I just,
up
like,
and then
never I... know where you're gonna go with the speaking of. Like, they come at the worst possible moments. And
speaking
I'm like,
of,
who knows where this could possibly go?
I was so plugged up today, and then I had a coffee, and then just everything came out. And it was
caffeine,
like,
caffeine is a natural diuretic.
I know.
And you know what? A lot of times pregnant women are constipated, so let Callie have her caffeine.
Yeah. What's the study? What's the status of wine and alcohol in pregnancies? Is wine is good, but alcohol is bad? Like liquor is bad? Or what's the...
So technically there are no studies on humans for alcohol during pregnancy, because the potential risk that it could cause to the fetus. So a lot of it is from, like, not necessarily studies on humans, but, like, when they have someone who came in and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I was definitely drunk my whole pregnancy. And then, you know, if there are, like, obviously fetal alcohol syndrome exists, so there have been enough instances of that for them to, like, record that. But they're not doing, like, active studies on it the way they'll be like, okay, why don't you, you know, you eat only chicken and you eat only vegetables and you eat, you know, things like that. Where there's like a more controlled group, because if it's something that could cause potential harm to the parent or child, then like they don't really do it. They just kind of have to go off of existing like studies, or not studies, but existing patients, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
There are a lot of doctors who say that one glass of wine is not a big deal, and it's not enough. If you're doing it like occasionally, it's not enough to hurt the baby. And a lot of those studies also say things like, if a glass of wine is something that helps you unwind after, if you're like really, really stressed, because being really, really stressed also isn't the baby. So these people are good for the baby. So they'll say, you know, like that little of an amount, it won't hurt the baby any more than you being like hyper stressed out will hurt the baby. So there's
so
just
it's all
a
about
lot of,
the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, there's a lot of discourse on it in the medical community, honestly, again, because they can't really have those controlled studies like they normally can with a lot of things. So just kind of one of those, like, they just say best not to do it because they don't know.
Yeah.
The levels. Because they're not just going to get a bunch of pregnant women and be like, okay, you drink one bottle of beer, you drink two bottles of beer, and you drink seven, and we'll see what happens to this baby. Because like that is a baby, like it is a human eventually, like that could suffer really terrible ramifications. So
yeah, you know, we don't want any hills have eyes people coming out there. Speaking of discourse, that reminds me of Discord, and Discord reminds me of Patreon, and Patreon reminds me of go to www.patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod and join our Patreon, join our Discord, use this as your sign. If you've been on the fence, think about it. Now stop thinking about it and just go do it. Okay.
This man always be plugging something.
I'm plugging something. Speaking of plugging something.
Oh, my God. Got to calm down.
You know what my butt unplugged today looked like? The smoothie that Arizona was making for Callie.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, they should have a better blender.
Even Mark was like, oh, yeah, do the smoothie. And then
the goo, which is not an appealing thing for something you're about to eat to be called.
Yeah.
I'm like,
were you annoyed?
Drink the goo and also drink the coffee.
Yes. Were you annoyed when they're like, Democratic vote, our votes count more than yours?
Yeah. But I'm also, I didn't love the resolution on it either.
Which was
Callie just saying, we're going to still vote, but I get the most votes. I'm like, just say that, like, you will have open conversations about everything. Like, why does it need to be like a scoreboard me versus you situation? Like, that's not a healthy relationship for anybody.
Yeah, that's fair. She, you know, here's the thing though, it was a funny monologue at the end when she's like, all right, so here's the deal, we are going to do this democratically. Totally, I love that idea. But I get a vote, my baby gets a vote, and my vagina gets a vote, and I'm like,
the special vagina vote.
I like that. I like the special vagina boats.
Yeah, you know,
I love the special vagina boat, too.
I think when you have a partner who is pregnant, just, like, be open and hear their needs. And, like, you know, if you feel strongly, like, hey, I really wish you wouldn't, you know, drink as much coffee, you can say, oh, I read that, like, it's safe to drink up to this much coffee a day. Do you think you'd be willing or you'd be able to, like, go down to that amount during pregnancy?
Yeah.
And then, like, there's just better ways to present it, there's better ways to communicate it, there's just, it just feels everything, I just don't like the way that this is setting up all these relationships. I'm like, this is just pitting everybody against each other. And, like, again, Callie's obviously, like, probably having cravings in addition to caffeine.
She's a hormone casserole.
She's like working really hard. She's on her feet all day. Like, it's exhausting. And so I just feel you can't just be like black and white. This is what's good. This is what's bad. You have to, like, that's still a human being.
Yeah. I also did not like the scene where Callie's in the break room and Teddy's just like sitting there watching all of this happen.
Yeah.
And Arizona's like, no, totally. If you feel like you really need the coffee.
Yeah. The manipulation is like out of this world.
And this is not the first time that we have seen Arizona do this to Calliope.
No, it's so rude. I really don't like it.
She
doesn't
drink
it. I don't dislike Arizona. I just feel like this is a bad look.
Yeah. Well, even Teddy.
Yeah.
What does she say? For someone who has ambivalence toward motherhood, you got the whole guilt thing down cold.
Yeah.
Oh, the passive aggressive backhanded guilt. Ugh, I am so used to that from people that I know in my life.
It definitely also feels pretty generational.
Yeah. Our generation, am I right?
Oh, so true.
Oh, the millennials. Fog.
So yeah, that was there anything else you wanted to say on Owen and Callie, or Callie and Arizona and Mark and April?
Just the last scene that was funny is she sits down. Also, if you want a peanut butter sandwich, Callie, go eat a peanut butter sandwich. Peanut butter is great.
Again, I'm like, have a peanut butter sandwich and some chicken.
But also, and some chicken. And the chicken. And the chicken. And yes! but when she's like, me, my baby, and my vagina vote that Mark gives us a foot rub. Like, Callie, you can just say, hey, Mark, I had a long day. Can I have a foot rub?
Yeah.
And then when he's like, I'll go get the lotion.
Like a weird robot human. So strange, but I was
weird
funny.
Feelings that I have towards Mark this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to elaborate on that? Or
I'd like to elaborate. But first, speaking of Mark, I'm kidding.
I marked all over myself. With a pen.
Yeah,
with
sure.
With a marker. Marker.
A pen 15 marker.
All right.
I did want to shout out, speaking of the Discord, the Discord Eats First page, I would like to shout out, number one, I'm a little bit behind on this. So, Katya, that pulled pork that you made with the Spanish rice, ugh, chef's kiss. I need some of that. And then Mo, with the homemade cheese, macaroni and cheese pizza. And then Brianna with the baked goods. You, Kelsey, you know me better than most people. You know the baked goods are the way to my heart.
Carmen has a sweet tooth.
I got a sweet tooth.
So do I.
I'm so sweet. We are so sweet.
Well, that's not why I have a sweet tooth. That's for sure.
No, you got a sweet tooth because...
I like sweets.
You like sweets. I have a sweet tooth because I'm a terrible person, I guess.
Yeah. that's what I said.
All right. What do we want to talk? We've got like 10 more minutes for this episode. What should we do? You want to like briefly talk about... there's a Christina scene that was very funny in the beginning.
Yeah. It was funny. The end.
When... You go ahead. You take this. You take this, Christina.
No,
this
I just
is, this
did. I don't understand. I just told the whole thing. Oh. So Meredith is offered. She has Derek. She's on Derek's trial, which is what she wanted last episode. She's helping him with intake and stuff. And she goes to the chief's office. I will say also good Derek episode, in my opinion. You guys, that's a big deal. You know, we'll say it.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't there much, but when he was doing great. And so she goes to the chief's office. Derek is also there. And Weber says, like, I want to do this trial expanding on the work your mother was kind of starting to do before she took a step back from medicine. And like, we have all these journals. So like all the ideas are here. They've just never been put into action. And I like want to offer to have you on the trial with me. And Derek's like, just hear him out. Like, cause she says, well, I'm already on the Alzheimer's trial. And Derek's like, just hear him out and think about it. So she's kind of taking the day to think about it. Weber's like putting too much pressure on her. And I like,
yeah,
not intent. It's so unintentional, to clarify. I think he's just so excited for the trial. He's excited to continue Ellis's work. And he truly believes that it is basically Meredith's birthright to be on this trial, to continue
destiny.
Ellis's work. And then later on, when they talk about it again, he says like, because Meredith says, oh, do you think I owe this to her? And he's like, no, I think she owes this to you. Like, essentially, she was a shit mother.
That was a really cool
but
scene.
She could make it up to you by like changing the course of your career and allowing you the chance to change the face of medicine. And like, you know, this diabetes is obviously a disease that affects so many people. And to be able to have a positive impact on that would be a big deal. And so I liked the presentation of it. And again, he's putting a lot of pressure on her, but he's really, really excited and he just wants to get the ball rolling. And I don't think that there's a part of him that thinks she would say no. Like, I think he's just like, well, she's going to say yes. Obviously it's her mother, which I understand his thought process as someone who like, he has a good relationship with Meredith and it's it's definitely beyond a work relationship, but I don't think he knows her the way that like Christina knows her or Derek or, you know, people that are more her peers. And I think it's just so clouded by his relationship with Ellis.
Yeah. And the whole point of the clinical trial was to cure type 1 diabetes.
Essentially.
To be clear, we have no cure for type 1 diabetes, right?
No, but there are a lot of trials that are getting closer. Like, they've done pancreas transplants, I believe. They've done, like, basically, I'm certainly getting this wrong, but essentially like a robot pancreas, which is what the pumps are when they're outside of the body. So something like that, that can go. But this is the one that I feel like I read more recently that was super successful was something that was done in Australia. Obviously there's so many like red tape things you have to jump through with medical stuff anywhere, but also here specifically, like they have to go through FDA approval and they have to do certain amounts of things on animals or, you know, in like cadavers, and then they get to move to human testing. So like it takes a really long time to see that progress, but there definitely has been progress in the type 1 diabetic field of study in our lifetime. And I say this not with the knowledge of my best friend has type 1 diabetes. So again, I'm not like speaking for all diabetic
people.
Knowledge is more limited. Based on like, and I will say this before I was like really good friends with her, I knew very little about type 1 diabetes. You basically know like, what is it? Wilford Brimley being like diabetes. And that's not even type 1.
Diabetes.
There's a lot of people, you know, that associate diabetes. They only think of type 2 diabetes. So like when people find out that Kelly has it, they'll be like, oh, but you're skinny. Just not a helpful comment.
Right.
I mean, she is, but like not a helpful comment. And so it's like not, it's very different. Type 1 and type 2 are so wildly different.
Yeah.
And the way they're treated and controlled and managed is so wildly different. So anyways, all that to say, don't make diabetes jokes at people, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it is just an interesting storyline in general. And I do like that when it's being presented to her, Derek is like, hey, hold on.
Yeah.
Get all the facts. Like, yeah, this could be really, really amazing for you.
And he doesn't put any pressure on her.
Nothing.
He
none at
really
all.
Takes a step back and is like, I like would fully support either thing.
Yeah. When all of this is going on, like she's getting this pressure from Weber while we pan kind of in and out of her doing the clinical trial intake piece and like the, hey, remember a couple months ago when I was asking you these words, like remember the words, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And also the poor old lady at the end where she only remembers the first two words and she can't remember the third one. And then she's at the end, she's like, why are we here? I don't remember. Like what? Alzheimer's is such a terrible disease. We do need ways to, you know, just the human brain is just such an enigma.
Yeah.
So when she goes in and turns it down, I love how this is framed because you get, and it didn't click to me until this exact scene when Weber's like, she wrote everything down. Like this woman, she, every single thought she ever had was in these journals. And Meredith is basically like, yeah, because she had to, because this disease was making her terrified.
Yeah.
That never occurred to me until this moment. That she had so many journals because she was writing everything down because she wouldn't remember it because she had Alzheimer's.
She was like realizing that something was going on.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's important to note that the patient intake Meredith was doing before she turned the chief down was a mother-daughter versus a lot of them had been like couples. And that was a mother-daughter. And I feel like that was definitely a very intentional choice because she like sees the mother and the daughter relationship and like remembers, you know, her own experience in that. And she's like, yeah, if I continue the work of my mother, I can help a lot of people, or I can work on a disease that will also help a lot of people. But like, I am also doing, like, honestly, both of them are honoring Ellis. Both of them are because of Ellis.
Yes. Yes. And anyways, that's, it's a win-win. She was in a win-win scenario.
Intentional choice to make it a mother-daughter, and have the mom just be like, why are we here? I don't know why I'm here. And the daughter also be clearly like upset and, scared, I guess, because she's like, oh, we should have, clearly a caretaker, because she's like, we should have come earlier in the day. She's hard, has a harder time in the evenings. And then just like seeing the daughter be, have that concern for her and like having, like taking care of her. And I think that like Meredith just saw her and Ellis in that moment also.
And it's important to note, Meredith is not saying, I don't want this work to continue. She's saying, right. Do it. I just,
yeah, for sure.
My priority is here, and like, yeah, go save the world.
She's definitely like still fully green light, all, you know, you have my blessing, you have my support, whatever. But I'm just not going, I'm going to honor my mother in a different way.
Yeah. I also, there's one point where Weber is saying, when he's saying that, no, I think she owes this to you. Like, mm-hmm. you inherited her name and her skill. Like, this is your legacy. And he, at the end of it, says, this may also change the way you see your mom and you think about her.
Yeah.
I feel like Meredith already has come so far in that.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting, and I, this is like, for sure, if we, next time we're together, I'd love to do a rewatch of this episode. But I would love to see the episode where she's dead and Meredith, and Meredith is like dead, dying in a coma, and Ellis mm-hmm. is there.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember the specifics, but I feel like I remember Ellis saying that she loved Meredith or something to that effect. And
not like that. I think like something more like, I'm proud of you. Like, you are extraordinary. You know, you're anything but ordinary, I think is what she says.
Yeah. That's right. Clearly, I don't remember very much of that.
Yeah. I think Meredith does a great job of separating Ellis, her mother, from Ellis the surgeon, because I don't think there will ever be a part of Meredith that's like, Ellis isn't, you know, one of the greatest surgeons that's ever lived. Like, she knows that. She's smart. And she can separate Ellis as a mother. And she's like, just because she's a shitty mother doesn't mean like she's a shitty surgeon. Like, she was a good surgeon, yeah, partially because she was a shitty mother.
Right.
Or she was a shitty mother because that's just like where the priorities were for her.
Right.
And I think Meredith at this point, you know, after having done some work and really like been able to reflect on that, can see, you know, the difference between the two. And so yeah, when Weber's like, oh, it'll change the way you look at her, I'm like, not really, because like Meredith knows that Ellis is like brilliant and an incredible surgeon and an incredible doctor and a very, very smart woman. I don't necessarily think that her potential cure for diabetes is going to make Meredith go, you know what? It's okay that she treated me like shit for my entire life.
Right. Because her notes were fantastic.
Yeah, because man, did she write some shit down.
Like, I'm talking color coordinated. I'm talking sticky notes. I'm talking
table of contents.
She had an appendix. She had
an epilogue. She had a prologue.
She had a glossary, motherfuckers.
Hell yeah.
We love a glossary. Snap for the glossary.
Snaps for glossaries.
That's how many other literary words can we put in there? Bibliography.
Citations.
Oh.
MLA format.
Oh, snap.
Anyways.
All right.
Is there anything else on that before we wrap this up and head on to the next storyline? Anyways, I thought Derek was very supportive.
Oh,
very,
yeah,
good
the end
husband,
scene.
Derek. Very good husbanding. Because Meredith goes home and tells him that she's going to stay working on him, and he is so excited. Like, he clearly wanted her to do that.
Yeah.
And he at no point pressured her and like even let her know that that's what he wanted, which I think is a very good move for a spouse or partner. He wants her to be on the trial that she wants to be on. And so then he tells her like a whole bunch of stuff. And she's like, what does that mean? And he's like, it means it's not working. You're like, yay.
Medicine. Yay for not working.
Yay. Medical breakthroughs. They take so long, but we appreciate the work that goes into it.
And then they bone.
And they do. There, he's like, oh, the kids won't be home for 20 minutes. Meaning the 800 other people that live in that house.
Yeah.
So, and then they have some couch canoodling.
When he is sitting there, when she does tell him that he chose her, he gets so giddy and he's like, ooh, I'm so glad.
He's Like, he is very, very excited. That's why I'm saying, like, I think it's, yeah, it was, I really like the choice for them to basically, like, not have him be involved in the choice at all.
Yeah. 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 Thought that was very sweet. I think that's it. I think that's all I got. I think maybe we could do part two.
I think so. And in part two, we will start with everyone's favorite segment.